Because of mechanical difficulty at the time of recording, there is some distortion on this tape.
In Matthew chapter 24, a verse of scripture, and we'll take off from there. But what we're going to be talking to you about is the art of overcoming. The art of overcoming. Overcoming those trials and tests, temptations, and is a very important part of our Christian life. It's a very valuable part. There is an art to overcoming. There are some tremendous promises made to the overcomer. I want to be an overcomer. I want to overcome the things that have hindered me, the things that have blocked me, the things that prevented me from coming to Jesus. I have overcome those, but there are things all along the way that I have to overcome. And I'm going to say this to you, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but there'll be times that there'll be people that have come against you, but you'll have to overcome them. Satan uses individuals. There'll be your own mental attitude that you'll have to bring into subjection time and time again. Paul knew what he was talking about whenever he left the words and recorded in God's holy word concerning bring every under him. These are things that you and I have to overcome. Your thought life can rob you of spiritual victories. What you think on determines how strong a Christian you're going to be. Your attitude. These are things we constantly have to work on. There's no way that you can zero in your attitude and say, well, I've got it set, man. I've got it locked in, and my attitude's going to be perfect from here on out. It doesn't work that way. We have to constantly work on our attitudes. We have to constantly work on our own motivation. And someday I just don't feel like it. I'd rather stay in bed. Sometimes when the phone rings, instead of answering, I'd like to just snatch it out. You don't feel that way? Oh, I know you're so holy, you don't feel that way, you know, but some days I do. I just don't like it, you know? We have to work on these things. These are problem areas. And don't let anyone, no one's come to the place where they don't have battles with these things. Because anything that sickens my stomach is that holy Joe that tries to make everybody believe that they haven't made a mistake in the last 40 years. I don't always do that, but I'd like to tell them, honey, you was a mistake from the beginning. These are problem areas that we have to deal with. We have to work with. So we've got to make it. We've got to get it. I'm going to endure. Sure is a far cry from what I'm going to think. Bless God, I'm going to say to him. What do you think about when you think about enduring? See what it says in the 13th verse of the 24th chapter? But he that shall endure, he and the same shall be saved. It doesn't sound like it's an easy thing. Well, there are times that it's very easy. But there's other times you just have to make up your mind, I'm going to stand. I'm going on. I'm going to live for God what people think or say. Their attitudes, their comments, what they think is not going to turn me around. Amen? My Bible said if I would endure, I'd be saved. And that's what I set out for, to be saved. Amen? From the moment I accepted Jesus Christ, I had a goal in mind. One day, see him and hear him say, well done. And I don't intend to turn back. I haven't lowered my sights. I haven't deviated from that. That's still my goal tonight. Sometimes the pressures are great. Sometimes opposition. Sometimes the things come against me. Sometimes it will be very easy to give in to the whims and wishes of the carnal nature and say, what's the use? What's the use? See, I don't want you to ever think that I'm so holy and so great that I don't fight some of the same kind of battles you fight. The only thing is, I've been fighting longer than you have, and I know how to hit where it hurts better than some of you do. And that's the only reason. Sure, I've learned how to use the scripture, to use the sword of the spirit. I've learned how to use meditation. Not in the sense that you hear so much about meditation today, but meditate upon God's word. Think upon God's word. Repeat God's word. Love God's word. I've learned to use the tool of praising God. I've learned to use the tool of singing and making melody in my heart. I've learned to use these tools effectively to endure and to overcome in those moments when I don't feel like it. So I endure. I endure. Amen? How many of you have ever felt that nobody understood you? The rest of you need to come to the altar and start praying. You're not being honest.
Everyone's had those feelings. Everyone's had those thoughts. No one understands me. No one really knows what I'm going through.
There was a moment when we got to stand and say that I know in whom I have believed and I'm not turning back. Now that's the path to the deeper life. But just knowing God, knowing He's going to be there, knowing He's up you, knowing that He's not going to let you fall, knowing He's not going to let the devil just completely destroy your life, just knowing that and standing upon it. That's the path. That's how that you come in a greater way. See, some people only want the flower beds of ease. But you never really learn what God can do sailing through the air, floating on the clouds. You learn that God can divide a Red Sea when there's no other way. He's got to divide it, or else you're doomed. You learn that God can supply your needs when you're in the wilderness and there's no way to get what you need other than God provided. See, this is where you really come to learn what God can really do for you. Is in situations, see, where you have to rely upon Him, where you have to turn to Him, where you have to call upon Him. That's where you really learn. They would have never known that God could have divided the Red Sea if there had been another way. They'd have never known that. They'd have never known that God could have rained down the manna from heaven and fed them in the wilderness. Food without that. They would have never known that. Amen? God teaches us to live by faith in those situations where we have to endure. Amen? One time I was going through a severe battle, and I went, God was just letting me get by enough to get by today. You know, it would have been much easier if He would have given me enough that I could have seen down the road and known how everything was going to work out. But He didn't. And one day while I was praying, the Lord said, this is exactly the way I dealt with the children of Israel in the wilderness. If they gathered more manna than they needed for today, it would be ruined before tomorrow. You know what the book says?
He was teaching them that I am the God who is enough. If you got me, you got enough.
Hallelujah.
If you know me, if you're trusted in me, if I'm really your Father, if I'm really your Savior,
then I'm all you need. And I have to teach them that. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I'd have been just like them. I'd have been out there and I said, well, I got all I need today, but Gabriel may forget tomorrow to shake that basket, so I'm going to take in another handful for tomorrow, just in case he oversleeps. You've done the same thing. That's the human nature. See, we want a little bit stored up. But beloved, you cannot store up enough grace to carry you through tomorrow. You've got to get it tomorrow to take you through. Amen?
Day by day, you lift it up. That's why Paul said, I die daily.
See, this is a walk of faith, and you may as well forget it. You're not going to get to one of those places where all you do is coast. Amen? Because if you coast very far, just remember this. You can only coast when you're going downhill. And the further down you go, the higher it is to come back out. Amen? Hallelujah.
So anytime you feel like, boy, everything's going beautiful, man, I'm on a mountaintop, everything's great, and you're just up here, and all at once you start just kind of cursing, saying, man, it's getting better all the time. I'm at a battle,
The mom and dad hadn't even been by my house in the last 6 months. Everything's going great, boy. Well, just watch out. You're just coasting down, down, down. Because there's going to be a valley down there that's going to be so deep. But you know what? There's no valley so deep but what he's in that valley. And in that valley, he'll meet your needs. And he'll talk to you. And he'll supply your needs. And he'll strengthen you. And he'll bring you out. But you have to make up your mind. I'm not staying in this valley. I'm going back to the mountaintop. And I endure. I endure. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's go to some scriptures in Revelation. Let me share a few of those with you. Now, my watch, something happened to it night before last. And it's been 14 minutes after 8 for the too long. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's Revelation 2. Now, I made a promise. To the overcomer, he gets to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. But see what else he promises to the overcomer. Revelation 2 and 11 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now what does he mean by the second death? He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. What's he referring to? How many times you gonna die? He said, the second death. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. The man who dies today, if he dies in Christ Jesus as a born-again believer, the moment will come that he shall be called to stand before the white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ to give account for the deeds done in this body. The white throne judgment he will stand before if he dies as a sinner. The judgment seat of Christ if he dies as a Christian. He will be judged as a Christian at the judgment seat of Christ. He will receive his rewards. He will not die again, but he shall go to live with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. But if he dies in sin and stands at the judgment seat of God, the white throne judgment, if he stands at that judgment, then he shall be turned away into the lake of fire and brimstone that burneth forever and ever. And the writer in Revelation says, and this is the second death. See, the first death is that death that you die that takes you out of this life. The second death is that death when you're turned away from God and there is never any hope of redemption after that. Never. You're in the bottomless pit forever and ever. Now, he said, he that overcomes, he that endures, he that is faithful, he that serves God true, he has no fear of the hurt of a second death. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. To think that I will stand before him and not hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you. What a dreadful moment that would be for the people who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. That's why you and I must overcome. That's why you and I must endure. We must not give up. He that overcometh, he that overcometh. Hallelujah. This is very important to us as believers. Revelation chapter number 2, verse 26 and 28, or through 28. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Now let me share something with you. Don't ever think that you have reached a point where you are eternally secure, that you could not fall if you just threw your life and your faith to the wind.
If that is true, then my Lord wasted his breath when he made the statement, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end." He didn't say, start out with them. Keep them until the end. This was why Paul said, "I fear lest when I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway." It is very vital and important that you keep the faith. Amen. Paul said, "I have finished the course," which clearly indicates to me that there was a prescribed path. There were certain duties that God expected him to fulfill, and he knew when he had fulfilled them. It is important to you and I that we fulfill those duties and responsibilities that God has called us to fulfill. You see, I personally believe that there is no power that can touch the true child of God until he or she has completed the work that God called them to do. When you are a true child of God doing what God wants you to do, till that work is done. Amen? They couldn't stop Paul. The whole Roman army couldn't kill one little dried up puny Jew. Amen? Because he was under divine commission and appointment from Almighty God. Hallelujah. I know there have been times that Satan has laid traps to try to take my life. But God prevented it because I had a work to do. Amen? And dying is the least of my worry. Hallelujah. Because I have a work to do, and until that job is finished, all hell can't stop me. Well, neither can it stop you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So endure. Fight the good fight of faith. Keep the faith. Endure, plow through, accomplish. Amen? Somebody says, "Well, Brother Gorman, the Lord, you know, saved some people to sing, saved some people to play the piano, saved some people to be music directors, saved some people to be prayer warriors. He saved some people to do this and this and this." But he said, "You know, I just don't know anything the Lord wants me to do. I come to church and that's about all." What's he going to say to you when you get up there and say, "Well done, you seek woman"? The Bible says those that enter in, he's going to say, "Well done." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Works in our lives, constantly encouraging us to overcome, 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 overcome. This is what he does. Let me share with you another scripture. In Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 12. "Him that overcometh will I make as a pillow in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, shall go out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." Revelation 3 and 21 says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." 21 and 7 says, "He shall in all things be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh shall inherit all things." There's much in the Word of God. I've only shared with you a few scriptures tonight concerning overcoming. But there's much said in the Word of God about us overcoming. Don't settle down. Don't sit back and say, "Well, I've got a problem. You know, my grandma had it. My grandpa had it. You know, it's just one of those things. I just can't help it." If that problem is preventing you from being what you ought to be in God, then I'm here to tell you that God is able to manufacture you and to make of you a vessel of honor. He's able to help you overcome. He's able to strengthen you in those areas wherein you are weak. Don't give in to the weaknesses. Let the Holy Spirit enable you to be strong and work in you. Let Him show you. Let Him assist you that you can be strong in these areas. Amen? It's silly for a man to say, well, I was delivered from drinking, but I've always had a problem with that. I've been drinking since I was a little boy, so therefore I can't give it up. So I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm going to go ahead and drink. Or a man says, I have a weakness. My weakness is gambling. And therefore, I just can't turn it loose. I pray from it. See, the Lord makes us a new creation. And it's not pleasing to Him for you to give in to your weaknesses. He wants you to admit your weaknesses and ask for His help to grow strong. See, we glorify God when we show forth to the world that our God is able to make of us something that we were not before He came into our hearts and lives. But we're strong. But we're strong in Christ. Not in ourselves, but in Christ Jesus is where our strength comes from. Where the power to live for Him comes from. Hallelujah. Sure, every one of us has weaknesses. We have problems. We have difficulties we have to wrestle with. Some of us have advanced further than others. But every one of us had battles and things that may be bothering you. They don't bother me at all. They never did. But yet I had things maybe bothering me that never bothered you. Therefore, I had to yield myself to God that I might grow till I was strong enough that that thing no longer bothered me. Amen? Now, I'm going to pause here just for a minute and I'm going to meddle. Christmas time is coming up. How many of you have accepted Christ since last Christmas? Can I see your hand? Look around. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands, but I'll guarantee you that the majority of you who raised your hands last Christmas, you had your cocktails, you went to your parties, really hit it hard, buddy. I mean, hitting's already granted when I hit him. That's right. Now, This was the way of life. This was it. This was it. So some of you get it in your little heads. You say, well, this year, I'm not going. I'm going to stay away from them. I'm going to stay away because I don't drink. Now, that's one school of thought. I'm going to stay away. Another school of thought comes along, says, I'm going to go, but bless God, let me get every scripture I can. And when I get there, I'm going to let them have it. Am I right? Don't show your hand, but some of you already been thinking about that. You're getting your list made up. Both school of thoughts is wrong. Amen? You go home and see your parents. You go home and see your grandparents. And don't you go home and preach to all of them? Because they're going to be miserable enough just you being there full of Jesus. Amen? Your very presence there is going to bring them under conviction. But you go home and you love them. And don't you condemn them. You say, Brother Gorman, I can't believe you're saying that. Well, I am. You say, what should I do then? When they offer you a cocktail, say, no, thank you. Have they pressure? Say, no, really. I don't want to. I'll talk to you about it later. But curiosity killed the cat. They got to know. They're going to get you off the side and say, hey. Now look, buddy, last year, man, you was the one you led the game. Don't you remember? You got drunk first. But what happened? What's going on? Say, well, I'll tell you what happened. Have you heard of any Pentecostals? Well, I went over to that church and something happened to me. And ever since then, I haven't wanted anything to drink. I haven't wanted. And I'm so happy. You really can't believe, Bob, how happy I am. You just can't believe how happy I am. I'm so filled. My family is different. Now then, we can sit down as a family. Oh, everything is so different. But you go in there as a holy Joe with your artificial rings on. You know what they're going to do?
They're going to beat you out, and I don't blame them. Amen? You say, but Billy Grumman, I know that some of them are going to criticize me. That's okay. That's okay. Let them talk about you. That means they see something in you that draws their attention. Just let them talk. But you go home, and you love them, and you visit them. I'm not staying single all the time, but I'm going to tell you something. That's a problem with this old world now. Too many people became Christians and then drew up at a shell and said, bless God, I'm saved, but I ain't going to let nobody know it. The world needs to know, your loved ones.
Now, if we really believe this Bible, this could be very easily the last Christmas the church would ever spend upon the face of this earth,
if we make it till Christmas. But the right person to believe that Jesus Christ could burst the clouds of glory and the church could be raptured away. And I believe if there's ever anything you needed to go after your family, you need to go after them in love and not a holier-than-thou attitude. Don't you go there with a big family Bible stuck under your arm trying to preach to everybody and show them what sinners they are and how bad they are. Just remember it was a few months ago that God lifted you out of that filthy pit. And if he hadn't lifted you out, you'd be right in it right with them. You show them the love of Jesus Christ and let it flow through you, hallelujah, and you'll be able to win some of your lovers to Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless God, if Jesus is not strong enough to keep you from getting drunk at a Christmas party, then you don't have the Jesus I have. Amen?
Amen.
Told you I was going to meddle a little bit. But I want your loved ones saved. I want your friends saved. I want them delivered. I want them brought out of darkness into the marvelous light. And the only tools Jesus has to use are people like you and I. And Jesus shows forth through our lives. Amen? Jesus shows forth through our lives. And if you'll ask the Lord to help you, and you'll pray about it, and seek God, this will be one of the greatest Christmases you ever spent. And he'll open one big another for you to share what Jesus did. One more thing. If one person asks you, and there's 25 in the room, that doesn't mean that all 25 wants to hear the answer. And I'm giving you some good, common, practical horse sense. If you use it, God will use you. Amen. If that one person asks you a question, but if the several of them start talking about it and said, hey, we noticed you haven't been drinking. So, yeah, I noticed that too. Yeah, I noticed, man. I also noticed, boy, that you haven't been cursing, you haven't been doing anything. Really, you can see a difference in it. Four or five chip in, say, what's going on? That means the whole group wants to hear. Then share with them. And God will open up doors for a lot of you to share just in that manner. To share Jesus Christ with them. To let them know the real meaning of Christmas. Hallelujah. But all brothers, sisters, nobody likes a holy Joe, including myself. Amen. We just don't like that kind of situation. Someone is always holier, they're mightier, they're greater. You know, this is repulsive. This is carnal. This is selfish. This is not of God. Let Jesus Christ flow through you and love people, and you'll win them. You'll win them. You'll win them to Jesus. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. One place Jesus said, I will not speak of myself. I mean, he'll not speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. I was sharing just a few minutes ago. And Nancy, if I could ride on something you said a few moments ago that was so beautiful, I'd like to do so. Nancy came into my office, and we were just sharing a little bit before service time tonight. And Nancy says, I've only been a Christian a short time. But she said, you know what's happening? Since I got saved, and since I was, she says, he's just clearing out everything. You know, all of this stuff and all that stuff. And said, it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Amen. That's how you overcome. That's it. Amen. You get hung up on a lot of things. Jesus is there. Now, who's going to help you understand? How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit in your life will begin to teach you, will begin to show you, will begin to reveal to you everything that's wrong. He'll reveal it to you in such a way that he will show you in love how he's going to help you overcome. See, it's not like people, like when it was over on Elysian Fields, Kelly Lococo just got saved. God delivered this old boy from drinking. Most of you have heard me say this, but you may not have heard the part I'm fixing to reveal to you. Now, here's a man that testified that for 40 years he started every day with a half a cup of coffee and finished filling it up with liquor. Every day he would empty 2 and 3 fourths of liquor. Every day. He did this for years. He lived drunk, and God instantly sobered him. You heard me right. Standing at an altar, some of the people here was there when I prayed for him, instantly sobered him and delivered him. And he went back to his business so thrilled the next day, he didn't even know what had happened. All he knew, he was changed. He called all of his employees together. He says to them, I don't want any more cursing in here. I don't want any more filthy jokes. And I don't want any more liquor bought in my business. He said, I got baptized yesterday. He hadn't even been close to the baptistry. He got saved the day before, but he didn't know what had happened. All he knew was his life was changed. He was a new person in Christ Jesus. That much he knew. The teller was having a bowl of cigarettes. And so after Sunday school one Sunday morning, at the old church, he ran outside, and he was standing out there smoking a cigarette. And just as I was coming out of the back of the building, I heard one of the dear saints grab him and give him a lacing up one side and down the other about he needed to quit that smoking. He's going to go to hell if he didn't quit smoking. And when she turned him loose, I was standing there. And I caught her by the arm, and I said, you leave him alone, and don't you ever let me catch you again, reprimanding him or nobody else. That's mine and the Holy Ghost business. And I meant that. We've got too many people trying to tell others what they need to do instead of loving them and show them how to grow in God till they don't want it. You see, I believe you can get so full of Jesus that you just don't want sin, period. See? Amen. And that's what's caused a lot of people to turn away from God. It's because people got them and tried to force them in their little mold.
When the Holy Spirit comes, he leads you, he guides you, he teaches you. He shows you what's wrong and then enables you to overcome it. That's what he does. That's his business. We've seen people by the droves delivered from smoking. I mean, numbers of them. I think one night alone, I saw 35 delivered from smoking right across the front of this building as we laid hands on them and prayed for them. And we didn't go around reprimanding them and beating them over the head. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit moves into your life and begins to work in you until he changes your desires, see, and makes you want that which is holy, that which is pure, that which is righteous. Then serving God becomes a joy. The morning, and I got to say, yes, God, let me watch now that I don't sin today. Let me watch now that I don't do this. I put myself in a straitjacket, and living for God is no joy. It's a chore. The first thing you're mentioning God to me, I don't want to mention in church to me, I don't want to mention anything to me. But if we'll leave the Holy Spirit to his business, the Holy Spirit will take individuals as we lead them in worship, and he'll grow in their lives and teach them. And the first thing you know, he'll fill them so full of love and joy and happiness that these old things will just fall off. They just fall off. You don't want them. Amen? The man here tonight, I won't call his name. The last midnight, I led a man to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in his den. Man had been going through a real battle. Demon powers, and if you don't believe in demons, well, then you don't know much about God nor the spirit world, because there's real demons out there, friend. And so I counseled with him and prayed with him, and Christ came into his heart and his life. He said that, he said, I didn't think it could happen to me. I didn't think it could happen to me. He said, it was just... I just feel so different. And you could see the change. You could see his whole countenance had changed. But as I was talking to him, he kept trying to go back. And he says, but you know, I just can't do like so-and-so does. I just can't do like so-and-so. You know, I just can't give up this. And I think,
I said, wait a minute. I said, you've got one decision to make. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? That's it. I said, look, I drink all the booze I want to. I go to all the dances I want to go to. I gamble all I want to gamble. I go to all the places of world amusement I want to go to. I just don't want to. And he smiled. He says, I see. I said, don't worry about what you're going to have to give up. God's not going to make you give up anything. He's going to change your want to. Amen. He's going to help you to want the things of God. All he wants is permission to get into your life. That's all he wants, is permission to get into your life. Permission to come in. And when he comes in, then he begins to work. Hallelujah. He can change your desires. He can cause you to want the things that he wants you to want. Glory to God. Did you know that no person that's ever been called into the ministry really wanted to go the moment they were called? They were always afraid. They always felt fearful. They felt inadequate. But he just kept working with them. And the first thing you know, it was like fire shut up in their bones. They could hardly wait to get into that work that God called. Amen? And what did he do? What changed? What made the difference? Him working in their life. Amen? You see, when we get to heaven, when we go to a marriage supper, and we sit around the marriage feast, do you think it's going to be a lot of people that he's literally dragged in and you say, Gabriel, go out and get that other one. They're kind of rebelling out there. They don't want to come on in here, but go on. Take a couple into and drag them on in and set them up. You think that's what it's going to be? Do you really? No, it's not going to be that way. Oh, glory be to God. I am here because I want to be. Hallelujah. I am a Christian because I want to be a Christian. I am a preacher because I want to preach. He called me, but then he changed me to where I wanted to preach. I am a pastor because I want to be a pastor. He called me. He changed my heart. He put that love that drew me and continued to tug at my heart. I understand what Paul said when he said, the love of Christ constrains me. Hallelujah. It's something inside you that you cannot explain. You cannot put it in words, but yet it's there and it draws you and it moves you and it causes you to press on and to endure and to continue on to do what he wants you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the joy. That's the joy in being a Christian. He takes you and aligns your want-tos with his will. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you, I can see in your faces, you say, boy, that's exactly what he's doing to me now. And it's true, and he's going to keep on doing it. So don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Don't be despondent. You will overcome. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the farm, I used to watch the old mother bird as she would train her little babies to fly. I used to watch the martins. I liked to watch them. The old mother bird, she'd keep on chirping till she got them out of the box and got them out on the little porch. And then she'd feel around there, and all at once she'd just push them off. But before they could hit the ground, she'd go and grab them, take them right back up there. And she wouldn't be there very long. Well, the first time she shoved them out, all the hollering, you never heard. But she wouldn't be there very many times till they run loose and get started. And the Lord's putting you out of your nest. Some of you is shoving you out. And you think, boy, you just see the concrete coming up hitting you right in the face. But boy, you get that here. He's not going to let you go. He's going to keep helping you till you get strong enough, till those things at one time led you astray, you'll be able to walk in and take out a hand and lead them out. Hallelujah. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's after. Do you love him? Do you love him? Just lift your hands and love him. Would you do that?